Welcome to the Van City Midweek Podcast. Today, we're talking about rule of life.
So we've decided to do a midweek podcast over here at the church, and we've decided to start with kind of an epilogue to the Rule of Life series we just finished. We called it Nothing Burdensome, and we spent many weeks going over what the rule of life is and how to have Jesus be a part of that. If you want to know more about it, go to vancity.church/teaching, and you can hear the whole series. It's really great. But we're going to have a conversation here. My name's Patrick. I'm here with Hannah.
Hi.
We thought it would be helpful to have a conversation on the ground level of how we do rule of life. We spent many weeks talking about how as humans, it's good for us to be organized and to figure out what we have time for and what's important to us. And the rule of life helps us do that, and it invites Jesus into the process. So Hannah, your name came up because people regard you as somebody who does this well.
Oh, that's good to know. Thank you.
So tell me, when did you first hear about the rule of life and the way that we're doing it at the church now?
First, so before we even started coming to Van City, Spencer and I, my husband and I, were doing Practicing the Way material on our own. And so that's how we originally kind of were introduced to the idea. So things like Sabbath and silence and solitude and simplicity and things like that. So we kind of were working on that on our own. But I think the first time we probably got really serious about it was when we started doing leader training with Cam. And part of that for open, small group leaders would be talking about a rule of life. So I think that was probably the time that we were officially introduced to it in this format. So when we did this series this time around, we already had a rule of life. It was outdated. Like I had done it when my kids were really little. And so the season of life is really different. So I feel like this time around, we learned more things and were able to hone it and just have, I think, new insights. But the concept we've been doing for a couple of years now, I think.
That's great. So you've been doing this for years now. When you first implemented it, was it a hard thing to start? How did you start the whole process, you and Spencer?
So we started with Sabbath, and that was kind of our first dip into a life rhythm change. And seeing as we live in a culture that does not rest well, that was a pretty, that was an interesting entry point. And we worked out a lot of kinks with that one. But I think one thing that it showed me was that rhythms are really important and can change, literally change your life. And I tend to be a structured person and organized, and schedules and those things are really helpful to me, and I thrive in them. And so kind of coming from that, a rule of life did not seem like a crazy mind bend for me, but I think even for me, a rule of life, when you phrase it like that or you see it in like a chart, can feel really intimidating. And so for me, I like to think about it as just like rhythms, which feels a little gentler. And so I think starting finding rhythms like things like Sabbath or like community, which I think community is probably a lower bar of entry for people just because it's something that's a little bit more familiar. Just like starting to find those types of rhythms and implementing them in small ways and then just like kind of jacking up the pressure as you get used to it. But yeah, we just started with Sabbath. And it was during COVID when we started. And then I think probably like a year or so into that is when we started coming to Van City. And so I think that was one of the things we really loved, was that while not everyone at Van City is practicing a rule of life or these practices the same way, it was a common language. And people were not like thrown for a loop when you're like, oh, we do a Sabbath. Like people knew what that was. And so I think it made it easier to practice and implement those things in a culture, meaning the culture of Van City, that supported that and yeah, that had that as a value. So yeah, that's kind of how we started.
Yeah, that's cool. So you started with a domain of Sabbath.
Yep.
And you brought up an interesting thing of a culture that doesn't know how to rest well.
Yeah.
And especially in a time of COVID where you can't do a lot. Mm-hmm. So well, that's an interesting time to start all this, was coming out of that crazy season into what is more normalcy now. Was that a weird transition to go from that to what it is now?
I don't don't think so, because I think for better or worse, COVID created like an incubator where we were able to figure out a lot of stuff on our own. And while there are pros and cons to that, like we weren't working it out within a larger community of people who were also practicing Sabbath. Like for a really long time, we were the only people that we knew personally that did Sabbath. And so I think we just had a lot of time to just like work out what was restful for our family. And like even between me and Spencer, like there are things he thinks are restful that I don't think are restful. And so like that as an element in our marriage, like trying to balance that out, like I don't want to do that today. That does not sound fun to me, or that sounds like work, or vice versa. And so, but I think actually COVID allowed us to cement some rhythms so that when we kind of came into the quote unquote real world or whatever, we had already established some things that worked for our family. And yeah, there were tweaks, I think, just with like, oh, we're hanging out with people or whatever, that were implemented into that. But for the most part, I think it was actually really great because we were able to figure out who we were and our values without a lot of noise of trying to like strip back schedules or like make space. It was like we had space so we could put in what was important first and then add stuff back in, which I think was probably a unique situation for us.
Yeah, I think so. But it sounds, the Sabbath thing, you said something interesting about how you have a different definition of rest than what Spencer does.
Yeah.
So working through that is what I imagine a lot of people have to have that conversation. Like, oh, what does this make sense for you and for me? And where does it, you know, conflict?
Yeah.
So could you tell us like after work talking through that, where you're at now, what is like a 30,000 foot view of your Sabbath?
Yeah.
Since you guys have different.
So like what our Sabbath as a family looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. What does yeah. it look like for you guys?
So we do Friday night to Saturday night is our Sabbath time. So about 24 hours. And we have a few ground rules that we all operate on. Like we, for a while, we didn't use our phones at all. Now we'll use them for like we like to listen to Spotify or music or whatever. Or if we're using Google Maps and we're going somewhere. But we turn off Do Not Disturb. So like we're not getting text messages or emails or anything like that. Calls won't come in. And we do have our biggest rule is that we don't split up as a family. So if somebody invited our whole family to something during that time period, we could go. But if somebody was like, hey, I want to have coffee with you, I would say, thanks, let's schedule a different time. And so we have a few ground rules like that. But in terms of just like rest, I mean, we have a movie night and pizza night on Friday night. We watch a movie with our kids. We usually go to bed early. And Saturday, we often will go for like a hike, some kind of like nature, get out in nature, which that is has been the source of contention between Spencer and I for different versions of rest. I love being out in nature, but Spencer wants to climb a mountain in the middle of nowhere. And I don't want to sweat that much on the Sabbath, frankly. And we have two kids. And so sometimes hiking involves a lot of packing and snacks and logistics and who went to the bathroom. And as a mom, I'm like, I do that all the time. I don't want to deal with like a massive road trip on the Sabbath. So we've kind of gone back and forth. That was a rough point for a while, but I think we've gotten into a rhythm of every once in a while, like sometimes we go for a walk in a park that's like closer to town. And then we might stop by the farmer's market and get a cup of coffee or something. And then another time we may like pack up and drive somewhere that's like an hour away. So I think it's like recognizing and like loving each other in the way that the other person finds life, but also recognizing that like if we want to go on a really big hike, like we can find other days to do that. But yeah, just like balancing that. But it's pretty chill. Like we don't have a lot. Saturday nights are often the nights that we'll host people or go somewhere, which seems to work really well for us being rested and kind of coming out of that. But that's kind of a 30,000 foot view of our Sabbath.
Yeah, it sounds great. I mean, pizza and movie night always sounds fun to me.
It's always good.
And I think you bring up a good point. You said you worked it out over time. I think that's a big thing people can get hung up on is that it
yes.
takes time to figure out some of these things. And
yeah.
you don't have to have it in right away.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you have some children in your house.
I do.
Do they enjoy Sabbath now?
They love Sabbath. Sabbath is a huge, I think, part of our week. And kind of tying in something else, like the rule of life and like the rhythms of our house. I'm probably just going to call it rhythms because that's my mode.
Yeah, that works, yeah.
For our rhythms, like, and I kind of learned this from a lot of the readings about Sabbath, and I've actually have followed a lot of Jewish women, like conservative and Orthodox women, and just learning like you guys did Sabbath. Like, you guys are the Sabbath people. So like, how do you do Sabbath? Like, how do you feed your families on Sabbath? Like, logistics of like being a mom and like stuff like that. Like, how do you take care of people and also Sabbath? And so one of the things that we picked up from them was you're kind of preparing for Sabbath. As soon as Sabbath is over, you're getting ready for the next Sabbath. And so a lot of my rhythms throughout the week are so that when it comes time for Friday, like, I'm ready. Like, Friday is probably one of my favorite days. And so our kids love Sabbath. Like, they know Friday is like Sabbath chore day. So like, I clean the bathrooms on Friday morning and they know that they have to like tidy up and all these things. And so, but they love it. They know that that means we're all together. They get to watch a movie. We get pizza. You know, that's the night they get root beer and like they're really into it. And so it's just, I think it's this exciting time. I think they like knowing that, yeah, we're all together. We get to do things as a family. That's, I think, the biggest part for them is knowing that one of us isn't going to take off and go somewhere without them. And the very rare occurrences where that does happen, where we split up and it's usually for a very, very good reason, they still get sad about it. And they're like, oh, like, I remember when there was the men's retreat and Spencer went on that. And there was like, we had to have a discussion about like, dad's going to be gone for Sabbath. And that was like a big deal. Like, there were some tears of like, you can't be gone on Sabbath. But it was just like, I think it showed that it's not just like a thing for them, like it actually means something to them. And so yeah, our kids love Sabbath, and they don't have to clean up the house on Sabbath, so they don't have to tidy up until after, which is another bonus when you're a kid. So.
Oh yeah, of course.
They like that.
Yeah, and I you know, Van City, if anybody out there doesn't know this, we have so many children at this church.
So many.
So watching them like learn these rhythms and learn these routines that we do for church and following Jesus, it's really magical to see them start taking it on themselves, even if they don't really realize the bigger impact of it. But
yeah, for sure.
I think that's a very meaningful and a cool thing to see. Mm-hmm. So you guys started with Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
and then you worked through the other domains. And now that you're years into it, at this point, do you have a domain do you think is difficult, or something you guys are still working on or that you're working on?
Yeah, for sure. So I almost said corporately. As a corporate unit, Spencer and I.
Your family corporate unit. Yeah.
Our family. Yes, the corporate office of the Brooks family. We're working two specific, well, Spencer has his own things and I kind of have my own things, but together we're working on simplicity. We kind of took a deep dive into simplicity a couple years ago and we like got rid of a ton of stuff and really focused on like simplicity of possessions. And now we feel like God is calling us into simplicity both financially. So right now we're just looking at our budget again, and we don't have like an out of control budget or anything. But just like, is this the best way we could be spending our money, and what things are not necessary, and what things could we cut out that would make everyone's life easier? Like, if Spencer doesn't have to work as much because our bills are lower or our expenses are lower, how does that change our family? How are we able to serve other people or become the people that we feel like we're called to be and make space for that? So right now we're working on that. And then personally, I realized, for those of you who don't know, we just did in one of our practices a time audit. And that was basically just like looking at realistically how you spend your time, not how you think you spend your time, but how you really spend your time.
Right.
And one of the things that was like glaringly obvious to me, and I don't say this to sound like some amazing person, but I do a lot for other people and I don't do anything for myself. And that was like a pretty big eye opener of just like, wow, I don't do a lot of things just for delight or joy. And I felt like that's something that's been lacking. And I was like, oh, that makes sense why I'm like so tired all the time.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Like, oh, wow. No wonder I feel like depleted a lot, because everything I'm writing down is like in service of someone else. And like, those are all really good things. But so I've been focusing on just like what things bring me joy that are in line with who I believe God has made me to be. And how do I like invest more into that? In terms of my time or even our budget, like how do we do that? And then saying no to other good things in order to make space for that. So that's kind of what I've been working on right now. And it's really hard when they're all good things, you know? And it's like,
yeah, totally.
I have said no to a couple things and I've like removed myself from jobs that I realize somebody else could be doing this. And thank you for wanting me to do it, but I don't need to do this. And so it felt really good, but it's also a little scary. But I don't know. I feel like God has some big things that I'm getting ready to step into, and I don't know what those are, but I think part of it is making space in this season for just like nurturing who I am and who God's called me to be in a new way. So that's kind of what I'm working on.
Yeah, that's great. I think a lot of people can relate to that, either directly with your thing of not having time spent on yourself for your hobbies or interests or just your own growth, or the opposite of like, all I do is think about myself and you think about other people. Yeah. But this kind of thing helps you put all that in perspective so you can do it properly.
For sure.
Great. You said a lot of great things there. I think it's really important to mention this to anybody who's listening that a budget is always important to have. If you have money coming in, you should make a budget because you will lose control of what you're doing. So moving on, you have a, you know, a rule of life for, you know, when you wake up in the morning to when you go to bed at night. Like, what does that look like for you now? Has it been helpful for just basic day-to-day things for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think we often think about a rule of life as like, oh, people say like, oh, I could never do that, or I don't have time for that, or whatever. And my personal take is the opposite, which is like, I can't afford not to have a rule of life. For me, a rule of life, like, my time is really valuable. And I have a lot of people who I serve and take care of. And I have stuff selfishly that I want to do. And I think it's kind of like a schedule in that sense, where if you have things you want to accomplish, you need to schedule them and you need to do them. And so for me, a rule of life is like, well, if I want to become this person and I want to accomplish these things, a rule of life enables me to do that and things don't fall through the cracks. So like a good example of that would be, and I think this is actually before we started doing a rule of life, but I love a clean house and it stressed me out because I would never clean the bathrooms. Like I would like stress clean before like we would host someone or whatever. And I was like, this is stupid. Like I need to be able to, I should be able to like get my act together with like taking care of my house. And so I realized like, you know, good old Laura Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie, like Ma had like this schedule, right? I'm going to go there.
No. Yeah, that's a great reference.
Like she, like just reading it, like I grew up reading those and it was like, she had like, I do this on Monday, I do this on Tuesday. And I was like, oh my gosh, like if I just have a rhythm where every Friday I wake up and I know this is what I'm supposed to do, then it becomes like this ingrained thing and things get done and I don't have to stress about it. And so that was kind of probably the first like official rhythm was like, oh, I'm going to clean the bathrooms on Friday. And it seems so silly, like it's a silly example, but it's stuff like that where like having a rule of life enables me to have like a rhythm of life in my week where things I need to do are accomplished and people I need to take care of are cared for. And it becomes like subconscious, I guess. And so for me, like having a rule of life as a parent and as someone who is like involved in a lot of things, that's really empowering for me. And also it feels less stressful because I know that like, just like anything, like I can cancel something and put something in or swap it out. But yeah, it's really empowering to me. And I feel like my encouragement would be, if you feel like you don't have time for a rule of life, then you need a rule of life. Like you need to, because a rule of life just enables you to do what matters to you. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. That's great. And again, you said it well. You started with, for you, what was simple of Friday is cleaning the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then go from there. So again, start simple.
Yeah.
Takes time.
Yep.
And then just let it develop.
Yeah.
Great. So when you look at all these domains, all these years of doing rule of life with your husband, with your kids, with your community and your friends, what are some pros and cons that you would say are to the rule of life?
Well, I would say that might not be the right question.
Okay, what is the right question then?
I think, well, I'll sort of answer it and then I'll give you my real answer. I feel like the pros and cons, like I feel like anything can have pros and cons, but I think a con is from your perspective. So from the world's perspective, a rule of life might seem like the cons would be like, it's really limiting, or you can't do this, or you have to do this. But for me, I actually think those are pros. So a rule of life makes me focused on what I want to do. And it makes it very clear what I don't need to worry about. And that is very freeing. So for example, going back to the Sabbath thing, on Friday nights or during the Sabbath period, like we're not splitting up or doing anything. So there would be like an event or if there's like a birthday party or whatever, I'm going to RSVP no to that if it's on a Friday night. And most people in my life know that by now. And if you really want me to come, pick a different day.
Yeah.
But that to me is a priority call where like other people would say like, oh, that sucks. Like you don't get to go. And for me, I say, well, that's actually a pro because for me, my value is being with my kids on that night. And my kids love it and we really look forward to it. And that's the night where like I come down really hard from stress and like we just all are really tired. And so it's a really beautiful thing. So for me, it's a pro because I get that. Like that my rule of life actually gives me this sacred space to rest. And so while some may see that as a con, I see it as a pro. So I feel like a rule of life, while I guess technically if those other things are really valuable to you, and you can't do them in your rule of life, then I would say, well, maybe you need to adjust your rule of life to like reflect what you actually value. Or if you feel like you shouldn't be doing those, like it's a chance to examine like what that role maybe that is playing in your life. Because I feel like everybody, you know, everybody's rule of life is different and everybody has different values and your rule of life can reflect that. Like there might be people who have part of your, you know, Sabbath or whatever is like you do spend time alone. Like maybe you split up and that's part of your thing. But like, if that's what you value and you'll find space for it, then that would be a pro for whoever's rule of life it is. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of my approach to that.
Yeah. Do you have any cons? Do you think that there's any like reason to not do the rule of life?
I mean, wow. I mean, it probably will feel like a con if you don't like structure or being told what to do, even by a piece of paper of your own creation.
Mm-hmm.
But I would challenge that lovingly, but directly and say like, that doesn't sound like a rule of life issue. That sounds like a you issue. And that sounds like a discipline issue of like, well, we all need, you can't just like roll through life, like doing whatever you want all right, the time. Yeah. Right. So like, yeah, I think that being disciplined is uncomfortable and because it's forming you into someone. And so if you consider that a con, then yeah, that's a con.
That's a con, yeah.
But, you know, who you come out on the other end, like, if that's who you want to be, then it doesn't really matter, right? Then they're all pros.
Yeah, I see. So there are people who are adverse to structure and to, like you said, discipline or, you know, walls put around them in some mm-hmm. regard. But I do think that you said it well, allowing yourself to be under some kind of rule can be freeing if mm-hmm. you're just willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you, can you tell us a little bit about your domain when it comes to how you spend time with Jesus, with Bible or prayer time, church? I mean, I see you at church every Sunday, so I assume you're sticking to that one pretty good.
I'm trying.
You're trying? Yeah. So how has the rule of life helped that in that regard for
you? Yeah, for those domains, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I have found for me, I don't think there's like a right time to spend time with Jesus, like morning, evening, like whatever works for you. But for me personally, if I don't do it right away in the morning, my day is pretty much screwed. I've learned that I am not a nice person if I do not spend time with Jesus first. I get really impatient and cranky. And so for me to counteract that, I need to start with Jesus. So Spencer and I usually wake up about an hour before our kids and we do, you know, coffee, tea.
And what time is that?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. So yep. Wake up time. Okay.
So our kids can come out of the room at 7. And yeah, so from 6, well, 5:45-ish time, we get up. Spencer makes coffee. I make tea. And then Spencer goes upstairs and I go downstairs. And I usually, depends, it's kind of fluctuating a little bit lately, but Mike's kind of timeless rhythm has been like read a psalm and then read like a chapter from the New Testament. Lately, I've kind of been more in the New Testament a little bit. I also really love the Lectio 365 app. And so sometimes if I feel like I'm just not focusing very well or I need something like a little lighter or I get started later, I might do that. So that's kind of my morning. And then usually I'm at the tail end of it when my kids come down. And so kind of start the day with that. And then that's kind of my morning time with them or time with God. And sometimes I'll do, if I'm having a hard day or I'm going through something and I feel like I need another grounding point, I can do Lectio, the app, like in the middle of the day. If I haven't done it in the morning, I might pull that up. And then I also, usually on days where I'm struggling or I'm going through something, I'll go do that right before I go to bed. And I'll usually listen to the Lectio devotion, which is really grounding for me. and helps get me out of my head if I'm like feeling anxious about anything. And then for community, we go to church every Sunday, and we are part of a community group, which meets on Wednesday nights. And so we, you know, are doing that day in and day out, you know, and yeah. And then serving, as part of kind of an extension of community too.
It is. Yeah. So that's cool. And I do think that when it comes to how you spend time with Jesus, I know a lot of people, as they're growing and they're figuring out how to do that well, of like, when do I spend time reading my Bible or in prayer or whatever? Yeah. It's like anything else. If you want to do it well, you have to schedule a time and stick to that time, because consistency will show you how to do it the best.
Yeah.
So thanks for hanging out, Hannah, and telling us all this stuff. I know some of these details are your personal information, but I think it's helpful to hear people, to hear, you know, normal people who have gone through this, have tried things and different seasons of life. Mm-hmm. You have some little kids at your house and you have a lot to juggle, but it sounds like the rule of life is at least helping with that.
Yeah, I think it's really good. And I think rule of life can be really vague sometimes and feel really daunting. So I think hearing, I don't know, I like to hear specifics, and I think it's helpful to just hear, like, what does that really look like? Like, how does that look like when you have kids and when you're tired and when you have carpool or whatever? And it's like, it's possible. It's not fancy, and it doesn't look like a monk or a nun somewhere in a cloister, but it's like you can have a real rule of life that really helps you become like Jesus and helps you slowly think the way he does. And it's a lot of work. It is, like, I'm not gonna lie, but it's 100% worth it, for who you're gonna be. So do it.
Yep. There you go. Okay. Well, we're gonna check in on you in another year to see
if better you're make still some doing progress.
It. Yeah, make some progress.
Thanks for listening to the Van City Midweek Podcast. For more information about what we're up to, go to vancity.church.
I did hear one thing that was a little concerning back there. When you said you wake up to tea, why would you not drink coffee?
Well, this is a good segue. I actually don't drink coffee because God told me not to drink coffee.
Oh, shoot.